Your bulletin, take your sermon outline out and follow along. In our series, The Real God series, we are in part six of a nine-part series. We've been talking about who God really is because you or I do not want to get to the end of life and discover we've had a wrong image or picture or idea of who God is. We want to have an accurate picture. Amen? Yeah. Because it's good to have an accurate picture, to know who your God is today, what he is like today, the real God, because there's a lot of ideas out there. I read a statistic the other day that blew me away. It said, there is a new religion that starts every day somewhere in the world. 365 new religions a year. Some new thought, some new idea, some new direction. Really? Really? Wow. That just amazed me. So the real God, we want to know the real God. And so today in this part, the true God, the truth of God. God is truthful. And so we start there. I'm going to start by reading this scripture, John chapter 18, verse 33 through 38. John 18, 33 through 38 says this, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? So we are in Jesus' trials time right now. He has been betrayed by Judas in the garden, almost at the Garden of Eden, the Olive Garden, and he has been arrested. And through that evening, he was arrested in the evening, and through the course of that night into the next morning, Jesus has gone through six different trials, questionings by someone. Pilate is one of them. Pilate, starting to begin in verse 33, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? I love how Jesus uses questions. He didn't say, yeah, I'm the king of the Jews. No, he didn't say that. He said, what do you think? Who do you say I am? Remember that question that Jesus asked Peter? Who do you say I am? Jesus is always trying to get to the heart. And questions are great ways of doing that. Is that your own idea, Pilate? Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place. Spiritual kingdom. A new kingdom, a new kind of thought, a new kind of value, a new kind of behavior that is not of this world. Verse 37, you are a king then, Pilate said. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. You want to know if you're on Jesus' side? Do you listen to his truth? And by listening, we don't mean just hearing it, but following his truth. That's a good way of testing. Where do you stand with Jesus? So what is truth? Pilate asked a great question. Truth can be defined by one word. I think the word is reality. I find it somewhat ironic that it was a science fiction author, Philip K. Dick, who wrote a good definition of reality. He said this. He said, reality is that which, when you stop believing it, it doesn't go away. Is that in there? No? Okay. So to kick off this message today, discuss this question, Christian, with those around you. What makes something true? What makes something true? That's a great question. It's a valid question. Discuss that. You might have to move around a little bit if you need to, but discuss that question with somebody around you. Okay. Let's come back together. What have you come up with? What are some thoughts about what makes something true? Anybody in the balcony today? What makes something true? It actually happened. Okay, I experienced it. All right. Okay. Yes. Evidence. Okay, we have evidence that something, maybe we didn't see it happen, we have evidence that it did happen. Okay, very good. If you believe in God, God is truth, then you make the leap that... Okay, yes. Okay. Live your love for God. All right, very good. What else? What makes something true? Yes, Ellie. Okay, if it's backed up by a fact, something that is true, okay? So if I experience something here today, and the next week I come back and experience the same thing, but it's different, is it still true? It could be, but it might be that, you know, let me say it this way. If I said to my kids, this is how we behave in our house all the time, and I have said that, and then I not behave that way, Kayla was always quick to say, you need to apologize to these kids. And she was right. Truth, we could discuss it. Theologians have discussed it for eons. The Bible reveals that God is the source of truth as well as the final judge of what is true or not true. Truth is always consistent with the character of God and with the will of God. God's truth goes beyond what we can see in our physical world and beyond the way things appear to be. We can see stuff. Have you ever been fooled by something you saw down the road and all it was a reflection of light? Oh, that's not there after all. Yeah. I thought I saw one time a hot dog stand alongside the road for only 50 cents. It was just an illusion. Yeah. You guys have to laugh at my dumb jokes, okay? George Barna is a recognized research specialist in the Christian community in terms of Christian thought and behavior. He researches people and various thoughts with various questions. In his recent book titled America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It. He reports that only 4% of the millennial generation, that's people born between 1985 and around 2005, so a 20-year span, only 4% believe in absolute truth. Truth can change, in other words, and still be true, would be the idea there. If absolute truth does not exist, then God, who is absolute truth, personified in Jesus Christ, he does not exist, or at least he is not relevant in the lives of people. What do you believe about absolute truth? Does it exist? Can it change? Is God truly relevant in your daily life? How would you describe truth to yourself or to someone else if they asked you? Get ready to take some notes because today we're looking at 7 characteristics of truth. Here's some things you need to know about truth that you can say, oh, that's truth. I recognize this. Here we go. First of all, truth is divine. What does that mean? When we say the word divine, we mean God. We mean God. God is the source. Divine. He is divine. He is of God. God is God. He is divine. He is above all else. Truth is divine. It does not originate from you or me. Psalms 31:5 and Ephesians 4:21 say that God is the source of truth. But John 14:6 uses the word the. In English grammar, the word the is called the definite article, not an indefinite like the word a. Jesus is a truth, but the definite article, the. Jesus is, say it with me, the truth. The truth, meaning he is the only truth out of everything else that is called truth. He is the truth, definite article. And that's important when you're reading scripture. Look for that definite article. He is the truth, not a truth. What does this mean? It means that no religion outside of Christianity has the truth. Now, that could get you fired in some places. That can get you in trouble in some places. To claim that Jesus is the only truth? Are you kidding me? Our country used to say that all the time. It doesn't say that. It doesn't believe that anymore. It doesn't change the truth. Remember the quote we made this morning? Reality is that which, when you stop believing it, does not go away. I love that. So truth is divine. God is the source of it. Secondly, truth is absolute. Truth is absolute. It is the sole source of what is good, what is right, what is bad and evil. Truth tells us what is. It doesn't lean on outside sources to determine what is true and what is not. Absolute truth never changes and thus becomes the standard by which all other claims of truth are judged. You can look at your scriptures. Do like the Bereans did when Paul came through their town. And he preached to them, and they searched the scriptures to make sure what he was saying was right on. They looked through the scripture at what someone else was saying and going, yep, that's right. Or nope, that's off. And it's how you know truth. God's word is the truth. We see the definite article, the, again in 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says that God's word is the truth. This means that any teaching or practice that departs from God's word cannot be called truth and cannot be approved by God. Some people create to their own liking an image of God whose love for them allows them to do whatever they want. It's okay, because God's love for them means, don't worry, I won't punish you. It's all right. Well, that's an image of God that's out there. Other people create to their own despair an image of God who is angry and eager to punish them. God's truth corrects both of these images of who he is. Is God an angry, despiteful, ready to pounce on you kind of God? Does he punish disobedience? Yes, but he is also a God whose holiness requires him to love. And so he set up a system by which you can enter into this truth and know that where you stand based on this truth is in a good place with him. Hallelujah. You can know with all confidence, Scripture says it over and over again, you can confidently approach your God. You don't have to grovel and on your hands and knees to him. Oh God, I sinned. I have the sin cycle and I just don't like it. You don't have to do that. You can approach the throne of grace with confidence, Hebrews 4:16 tells you. God is a God of love. He's also a God of justice. If you just take one or the other, you have a wrong image of God. Requires both. Scripture corrects any misunderstanding of who God is. Scripture identifies Satan as the father of lies, John 8:44. Originally, one of God's angels, Satan rebelled against God soon after he was created, and he took a certain amount of angels with him. Remember the number? One-third of the angels went with Satan, leaving God, and these angels are now who we call demons, who are active in trying to persuade and create fear in you, trying to get you to get your eyes off of God, to see a different reality or a different truth. Who is better able to twist truth than someone who has known God's absolute truth, like Satan? Absolute truth, however, cannot be hidden in lies. Paul said in Romans 3, 3 and 4 that someone's unfaithfulness or their lies does not nullify God's faithfulness or his truth. Hallelujah. Let God be true and every man a liar, Paul said. Thirdly, truth is revealing. Truth is revealing. This means that truth is presented in clearly and defined words with precise meaning. You can know the truth. You might be 5 years old reading scripture and going, oh, this says God created the world in 6 days. And that five-year-old would be absolutely right. Because God is truth. He does not lie. It reveals. Last week we used a plumb bob. Remember the plumb bob we used? Last week it was hanging on the cross. This is a plumb bob. You use it in construction work to identify an exact spot you want to put something or to identify a directly vertical line. God is truth. Truth represents an exactly vertical line. And anything off of that truth, you can say, oops, that's off. And you can know because the line tells you. And God's truth is like the plumb bob. It's a way of measuring righteousness, a way of measuring exactness. Truth divides right from wrong, good from evil. Truth exposes lies and makes visible deeds done in darkness. Have you ever noticed this? Maybe about yourself. When you're going to go do something sinful, you either get alone, no one's around, or you get in the dark. No one can see. Everybody shake your head like this. Yes, you've done that. I've done that. Numbers 32:23 gives us a warning. Your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. You will reap what you will sow. Why will your sin find you out? If there is not a plumb bob, you're safe. If there is not a plumb bob, if there's not a straight up and down line of righteousness, sin on. You'll never be caught. But because there is truth, because there is a vertical line of righteousness, somewhere along the line, your sin will be exposed because that is what truth does. You guys don't look excited. Are you excited about this? It is. You can be excited when it's about somebody else. Truth sifts out falsehood, and only what is true will remain. Fourthly, truth is objective, not subjective, but objective. This means that truth is presented in clearly defined words, precise meanings. Every aspect. It's true in every aspect, and every I will be dotted. And every crossbar of a T will be crossed. You know, in the Hebrew, they have a word for that. When the scribes were copying the words of God and making another copy, like the book of Isaiah, for example, they would make sure that they dotted every I and crossed every T. And then they'd go back and double check and triple check. No mistakes. And if there was a mistake, guess what happened to that copy? Out it went. Start over. You make sure this is exact. It's what the Hebrews call jot and tittle. Have you ever used that phrase? God is accurate to every jot and tittle. Meaning, it is exact. There is nothing left out. God's word is truth. It's total truth. It's absolute truth. It's objective. Matthew 5:18, when Jesus says, "Truly I say unto you," truly, Jesus isn't using just, "Hey, you know, listen up here," if you want to. Truly means, everybody get out your yellow highlighter, because what I'm about to say needs to be highlighted. This is of great importance. Truly I say to you. He is saying, highlight this, because it's of great importance. Truth is objective. Hang on to it. Number five, truth is unchangeable and universal. Psalms 119:89, Isaiah 40, verse 8, and Luke 16, verse 17, they all say that no truth of Scripture will ever change. God never changes. Therefore, His truth never changes, because God is truth. Churches use a variety of methods in sharing the Word of God. Yeah, you can use videos, you can use drama, you can use clowns, you can use food, you can do all kinds of things to share the word of God with people, but never change the message of God. Methods, yes. Don't change the word of God. Truth does not need to change, because real truth is relevant regardless of what time in history you're talking about. Is truth relevant in Hitler's day, in the 1940s, 30s? Is truth relevant in the 1600s? Is truth relevant in Adam and Eve's day? It's all the same. You guys, listen to this. Are you ready? The truth Adam and Eve heard from God's mouth is the truth you read in Scripture. It's the same. 6,000 years ago, they heard God speak. They walked with Him in the garden. And what He shared with them is here. It hasn't changed. Hallelujah. Everybody just give the Lord a hand right here. Let's just. His truth never changes. It's unchangeable, because God is unchangeable. Immutable is the scientific word, if you will. Immutable, unchanging. Metal that is immutable means it can't be changed into another element. Truth is also universal, meaning it applies to everyone. Someone might say, you know what, you going to church and you believing in God and you following His word, that's good for you, but it's not for me. Oh, really? Is that right? Is that person speaking truth? No. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it untrue. God's truth is universal. It applies to everyone. Number six, truth is illuminating. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's Psalms 119:105. Your word illuminates. It opens up. Let me see truth in front of me as I move forward. Truth gives us the insight to see the world around us through the lens of God's purpose for creating us in the first place. This is exciting stuff. God lets you see. Did you know that? God lets you see what He knows. How do I know that? Well, let's go to John 15:15. Jesus said to His disciples, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master." master's business. Instead, from here on out, I call you friends because what God is teaching me, I'm teaching you. Everything he's taught me, I'm teaching you. Woo! It illuminates. God is giving you his truth. God's truth shows us how to discern or divide or sift right from wrong, truth from error, good from evil. God's truth helps you learn how to relate to him and how to relate to one another to create an unbreakable unity that Ephesians 4 talks about. An unbreakable unity. You know, you don't have to look like me. You don't have to act like me. You don't have to believe like me even in a number of things about church or scripture. And we can still have unity. We can still say, God is truth and we follow him. Now we know throughout the world that you can take any scripture and speak it, and someone will have some other idea or interpretation of what that means. Just experienced that yesterday in a conference I was at. And I'm going, oh, whoa, is that what you said? I'm not so sure about that. I'm going to look in the scripture. But I have unity with the speaker who said it. We still agree on many, many things. Unity says, I'm with you because God is with us. We're together. And disunity is so expensive to the church in terms of God's purpose. Do you think, I asked this question of my small group Thursday, do you think if there was trouble a brew in the congregation here, which there's not, but if there were, do you think the community would know it? Wow, you did not hesitate to answer. How did you know that? You've been through it, okay? The grapevine, yes, yes. But you know what? Something else from my own childhood experiences. I knew as I started getting to be about 8 years old, 6 years old, somewhere in there, I knew there was trouble between mom and dad. They never said there was trouble between them, but somehow I knew it. And it made me unsafe. It made me feel like, oh no. You know, when you feel unsafe but you don't know why, that's a hard place to live. But I just knew it. And later on, it was in my teen years, it was confirmed mom and dad had been having trouble. And the reasons why, all that came to light. But I think that the same could be said about community to church. Because, you guys, listen to this. You as church in Athena, or wherever else you may attend, you are like a parent to your community. Did you know that? Don't think your church is unimportant to your community. Where did hospitals begin in this country? Churches. Where did colleges begin in this country? Churches. Where did Red Cross come from? Someone who believed in God. Where did all these things that we experience today come from? Many of them came from churches. People realize that if I am going to find truth in the midst of a horrendous experience I'm having in life, God is the place to go. It's like a parent. We as a church in this community is like a parent. People always know, if I ever need God, I know where to go. Don't think your actions and your words, how you behave at school or at work doesn't make any difference. It does. It does. You are of great importance because you illuminate Jesus. You shine him. Paul Tate, are you here? Where? Oh, right there. Come here. Come hither, young men. Paul shared a testimony this morning that he didn't know he's going to share with you right now. And you know where to go with this, right?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So yesterday morning, I had to go in and clean my van and all that stuff because I've been working way late. And I'm on call, so if I drop the mic and run. Anyway, I'd had a call Friday night about 7:30, 8 o'clock from a lady who was having problems with a lift station in a septic system. So I called her at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, and we started talking. And she decided how she was going to take care of it. And then she goes, let me back up a minute. I have talked to this lady on the phone 5 or 6 times, but I have never personally met the lady. So at the end of our conversation yesterday, she says, I know you're a praying man. I know you're a Christian. My husband is dying. And my son has just been handed a diagnosis of some terrible disease. Will you put me in your prayer list? I said, well, of course I will. I said, but right now, we'll pray with you right now for your family. God is everywhere. He's evident in everything that you do. Yeah. The truth is there.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Give him a hand. Jesus is alive in you. He's illuminating his truth in you and through you. Don't think that, I don't ever matter. You know, what I do, how would I believe doesn't make, yes, it does. It makes a difference. Jesus is illuminating himself through you. Number 7, truth is trustworthy and authoritative. It's trustworthy and authoritative. God's word is dependable. I'm reading through a book right now called From Text to Translation. The journey from text to translation. How did scripture, how did writing even get birthed? And so the history of writing and then the history of scripture and so on and so on and so on. How did it come into what we have today? And so it's an exciting read. It's a textbook. It would be something you'd read in a classroom, but it's a great, great read. I'm really enjoying it. God's word is dependable. It never fails, Luke 1:37. No one has ever followed God's truth and been misled. And finally, God's truth is authoritative. Truth does not give suggestions on how to live. Truth says, here's how to live. Truth has the power to command you to come into alignment with it or suffer the consequences, good or bad. The voice of truth possesses all authority and ranks infinitely higher than all other voices. Truth of God is the greatest of truth. Anyone else who claims they have the truth, if it is not of God? Truth also has the authority to do something else. Require a response from you. When you hit up against truth, boom. We were talking here just a minute ago about centrifugal force. Is centrifugal force a truth? Yes, every time you go too fast around a corner, it wants to pull you off. It's always that way. Centrifugal force is a physics factor, but where did that come from? God created gravity? Yeah. It has the authority to require a response from you. Since Jesus is the only way to a restored relationship with God, truth requires you to choose. To choose Jesus or reject him. You are either for God or against him. You cannot stand on the line in between and say, I'm safe here. I got a foot on both sides of the fence, or I'm okay. No, you can't do that. Truth will not allow you to stay there and be in truth. When you respond to truth, Jesus as your Savior, you will be saved from your sin. Truth makes that statement. You will enter into a restored relationship with God. Truth makes that statement. You'll have a new family called church and will have an assurance that God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, heaven is your home. Truth makes that statement. God's absolute truth does exist. God's truth tells us that He is the source of truth and that He is God alone. So let's respond to God today. Let's respond to God. Follow God's truth. Read Scripture. Brothers and sisters, it is disheartening. It is disheartening about how many Bibles Christians have in their homes that they do not read. Read the Word of God. It's simple. It only takes a few minutes a day. Read His Word. Read truth. Get into Him. Otherwise, lies mixed in with truth, which Satan throws at us. Oh, that sounds good. That looks good. Because I don't know the truth. Get in the Word of God. Read. If you're brand new to Scripture, start reading the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just read through John. Get some questions. Write them down. Call a Christian friend. Call me. I don't care. And let's talk. Get into the truth of God and you would know where He is, what He is like. And you'll never have to wonder, am I okay with God? You'll never have to wonder that. Truth is your friend if you will follow. We're going to sing You Are God Alone this morning because that's truth. You are God alone. I'm going to ask you to respond to truth today. And because truth requires a response, doesn't it? And what I ask you to do is stand. So everybody stand. And I'm going to ask you to come stand up here with me. We're going to sing this song together. Guys up there, if you don't want to come down, that's fine. Stay there. We know you're here standing together. Respond to the truth. Come together and say, we are in unity. We agree God is good. We agree He is true. We agree He is the only God. Let's sing it together.